Welcome to Gemara Markings. Tishiur is Eruvin Daf Tzadi Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a Mark Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Mark Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 14 lines from the top of Daf Tzadi Dalid at the Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, we recommend opening your Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations accompanying Maseches Erevin, and looking at illustration 69 on page 206. You'll notice the caption reads, Chotzer Shenifritzo L'Rishus HaRabim. You have a courtyard that has opened up into a public thoroughfare. And in the parentheses, he mentions, Pirush Rashi Yoser Me'eser, that this gap is more than 10 amos wide, which would make it such that it's no longer an entrance, a Pesach, but rather it's a gaping hole. Now the Mishnah. Chotzer Shenifritzo L'Rishus HaRabim. A courtyard that has broken open into a Rishus HaRab, a public thoroughfare. Hamachnis Misoicho L'Rishus HaYochid. Anyone who carries from it. Now, the understanding right now, as the word mitocha means from that chotzer. Anyone who carries from that chotzer into a private domain, o mirshus hayochid lisocha, chayov divrei Rebbe Eliezer. This implies that anyone who carries in the other direction as well, from a rishus hayochid, from a private domain into that courtyard, would be chayev. Chayev indicates that he would be in violation of a Torah-level offense, and that gives the impression that the entire courtyard, is considered a public domain. V'chachomim omrim, mitocho lirishus harabim, o mirishus harabim lotocho poter. Vipnei shihi kikarmelis. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Lezer and say that carrying from the courtyard to a public thoroughfare or from a public thoroughfare to the courtyard would be potter. Now, you'll notice we dashed underline potter to contrast this with the chayov mentioned by Rabbi Lezer. Potter indicating a rabbinic level violation, but not a Torah level violation. And the Mishnah spells out, the Chachamim spell out, because the Carmelis is viewed as the Chotzer is viewed as a Carmelis. A Carmelis is a rabbinic domain, making it such that transfer from it to the public domain is not a Torah-level Shabbos violation. The Rashi adds, the same halach would be if one were to carry from the courtyard into a private domain. Likewise, it would be potter, because once again, the chotzer, according to the Chachamim, is a karmelis, and not something else, and as such, it would be a rabbinic level offense, going from the chotzer to a private domain, and vice versa as well. The Gemara asks, the Rebbe Eliezer, mishum de nifritzo l'rishus harabim, havi lo rishus harabim, just because the chotzer has a gaping opening to it, that makes it into a public domain? The Gemara answers, and you'll notice that we have a diamond, and it's number one. On the side of our Gemara, under our Nosei heading, we have the following. Koisel Shebein Chotzer Shesram Shenifitza, a wall between a chotzer, a courtyard, and a public domain that is broken open. Machlokis Rabbi Lezer v'Chachomim. This is what we've seen so far. And under our Mivneh, the structural note, the diamonds represent two efshorios, b'ma cholkim, two possibilities as to what they are arguing about. So, number one, Mikre, the low, the according to the first approach, it appears to be a situation, Mikre, the low Nikur Mokum HaMachitzos, where the wall had been standing is not visible. You can't recognize, you don't recognize where the original wall was. V'amachlokes Havi Binyan Rabim Shebiru Derech Le'atzmon. And the machlokes will concern an issue known as a path, that's a derech, that was chosen by the public, that the public had started using an area, and that choice or that practice of the public can in fact make it into a Rishus HaRabim. That's one approach. The second approach that we call Roman numeral number 2, Mikre Shemokom HaMachitzos Niker, the situation is that where the original wall had been standing is actually still visible, it's still noticeable, V'machlokes Be'inyan Sidei Rishus HaRabim, and the machlokes will concern something known as Sidei Rishus HaRabim, literally the sides of a public thoroughfare. E ki Rishus HaRabim have o eino ki Rishus HaRabim. Is that which we call Sidei Rishus HaRabim classified as a formal and official Rishus HaRabim or not? Hopefully as we go into the Gemara these things will become clearer. But in the meantime, we have the opening question. And that is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, just because the wall broke open, does that determine or change the status of the courtyard into a public thoroughfare? So the Gemara answers, Roman numeral number 1, in yes. Rabbi Eliezer Litame, Rabbi Eliezer in saying thusly is consistent with what he said elsewhere. Desanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer. We have a Tanaic source, as you can see, it's framed off. And Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rabbi Eliezer as saying, Rabim Shabiru Derech Li'atzmon, the public that has, Biru literally is chosen, or started using a derech, a path, in a particular field. Ma Shabiru Biru, that which they have chosen, or started using as a path, is considered theirs. So the public practice, the public use, is of halachic significance. Rashi says, "Mashibiru biru, v'eino rashoi l'godra," and he cannot fence it off. He can't. The owner of that field can't fence it off anymore. Alma konula. That shows you that the rabbim acquires it. We should point out that this halacha is presented here in a very superficial way, but we have to go on in the Gemara to see some greater detail. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? The Omer of Gittel Omer Rav. Rav Gittel says, in the name of Rav, regarding this halacha of Rabim Shabiru Derech Liatzmana, publicly chooses a path for itself, V'hu Sha'ovdo Lohen Derech Ba'oisa Sode. That's speaking about a case where there had been a path through a particular field, and it's just not clear, was their path through the northern part of the field or through the southern part of the field, and they chose one of the sides, one of the sections as their path. But there was an official or an original path that the public had been using. So the Gemara goes on and says, V'chi tema hochanami, and if you say that is true here as well, kigoin she'ovda lo derech ba'oisa chotzer, that the public lost a path, they originally had a path in this courtyard, in our case, our Shabbos question, you'll say that in fact is what the case was over here. V'omar Rav Chanina ad mokom, and now we should go just to clarify that. And if you say that is the case, that it's an issue here of the public having originally had some type of path or walkway in this chotzer, then what probably would have been the case is that only regarding the spot that the wall had originally been on is that which is in question, but not the whole chotzer. And yet, when reading the Mishnah, and particularly Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, it seemed that the whole chotzer was in question. So the Gemara says, we're going to accept this. This is a somewhat unusual structure of Gemara, but we're going to accept this v'chi tema pshat. Emo al mokoim mechitza machloikes. Instead of reading ad mokom mechitza machlokas, which would have implied that the machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, concerns the entire chotzer. Don't say thusly, rather say al mokom mechitza machlokas, regarding the spot that the wall was on. And as we are explaining, before they built that wall, there is this contention that the Rabbim had been using that spot as part of their Rishus HaRabbim. In the course of time, a wall was built over there, and now it fell down, and that really is a path that is relevant to the public. And as far as the language of the Mishnah is concerned, or as the, more accurately, the language of Rabbi Hanina's comment on the Mishnah, it's not ad mokom mechitza machlokas, until the wall is a machlokas, which would have implied that the entire chotzer is the subject of the machlokas. No, rather it's al mokom mechitza machlokas, where the wall originally stood. And Rabbi Eliezer, in saying that that spot is in fact considered a Rishus HaRabbim, if you carry from the spot where the wall originally stood into a private domain, being that this is a case of a spot of Rabbim Shebiru Lohem Derech, it is in fact classified as a public thoroughfare, and hence carrying from there into a house would be a Torah level violation. The Iboy Esema, a second approach to what the Machloikes Tanakama, that is Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim, is Betside Rishus HaRabim Komifligi. And here we're talking about a case where the Mokom HaMachitzos, the spot where the original wall had stood, is noticeable. It's nicker, it's clear, it's visible. And still, Rabbi Elazar is going to call that a Rishus HaRabim. And that is because this spot where the wall had stood, and you can see that's what is illustrated in 69, where the dashed line denotes the boundaries of the original wall. According to Rabbi Eliezer, this is considered Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because his opinion regarding Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is such that the sides that run alongside the Rishus HaRabim is also considered Rishus HaRabim. And we'll read that in the Gemara, V'boi Esemo, but Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Komifligi, the Rebbe Elazar Sovar, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Ki Rishus HaRabim Domo, the sides of that run along the Rishus HaRabim is like a public thoroughfare, and hence carrying from that spot, if you picked up an item from there and carried it into the house, you would be in effect carrying from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochad on a Torah level, and hence he would be Chayav. The Rabbonon Savri, the Rabbonon in the Mishnah that said Potter, why? Tzidei Rishus HaRabim lav ki Rishus HaRabim domu. The Tzidei Rishus HaRabim are not considered like an actual Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara asks, v'liflog b'tzidei Rishus HaRabim de'amo. If this is the explanation behind the Machlokas, Rebbe Elazar and the Rabbonon, why don't they present their Machlokas in a general fashion? Why are they stating their Machlokas under these limited terms of a wall that fell down? The Gemara answers, if they presented their machlokas in a general fashion, have amino, I would have thought, ki pligi rabbonon olei de Rebbe Elazar, when do the Chachomim say like, or when do they argue with Rebbe Elazar and hold that it's not, the Sidei Rishus HaRabim are not considered Rishus HaRabim? Hani mili hecho de'iko chipufi. I would have thought that their concept of Sidei Rishus HaRabim is where there are chipufi. Chipufin, you can see illustrated in illustration 71 at the bottom of page 206. These are protrusions, a blockade type arrangement where you have protrusions that line the public thoroughfare, thereby creating a boundary between it and that path which is on the other side of these blocks. Chipufi literally is something that you rub into. That means as you're walking along the Rishus HaRabim, you would rub into these things. And I would have thought that this is what the Rabbonin classify as Sidei Rishus Rabim. Aval, the Gemara goes on, Aval Hecho Deleki Chipufi, where you don't have these blocks, but rather it's a smooth public thoroughfare, and it's only a question of an area that had once been occupied by the wall, Emo Modu Le. I would have thought that the Rabbonin would concede to Rebbe Lezer that is called an actual Rishus HaRabim. Komash Shalom, by teaching the Machlokas like we have with regard to the wall that fell down, so I see that they hold that the concept of Tzidi Rishus HaRabim includes this situation as well, even where there are no Chipufi. The Gemara asks, V'ha mitocha ka'amar. Notice we have a little star here. You can align this with the star higher up and see that this is a quote from the Mishnah. Did it not teach that the issue was carrying from the chotzer itself and not just where the wall had been? And that would indicate that the entire chotzer, according to Rabbi Elazar, is called Rishus HaRabim and not just the mokom ha-mechitza. So the Gemara answers, Aidi de'omer rabbonon mitocha. Since the Rabbonon used the term mitocha, and their kavona was the entire chotzer, Omar ihunami mitocha. Rabbi Lezer also uses the term mitocha, but his din of classifying something as Rishus HaRabim is a reference only to the mokom hamechitza, but not with the intention of including the entire courtyard. The Gemara asks, the style of this machlokas is seemingly imbalanced, where the Chachomim are talking about the entire courtyard in a reaction to Rebbe Lezer that was talking only about where the wall stood. So the Gemara brings this issue into question about the style or the balance of this machlokas. The Rabbonon, focusing on the Shitas Rabbonon that we just explained, were referring to the entire chotzer, and the Rabbonon are coming on the heels of Rebbe Eliezer. So we ask, looking at things from the standpoint of the Rabbonin, Omar Rebbe Eliezer, Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Rebbe Eliezer said that the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is called Rishus HaRabim and referring to the Mokom Mechitza alone, just to that thin strip of ground. Umahadru Le Inhu Mitocha. And they respond to him with a claim regarding the entire chotzer. How, in fact, regarding the entire chotzer, there is no disagreement. The Rabbonin, Rabbi Lezer will agree with the Rabbonin that the rest of the chotzer is called a karmelis. So why are they responding with their opinion regarding the rest of the chotzer when all Rabbi Eliezer was talking about was the mokom hamachitza, the spot the wall occupied alone? As we said, this seems to be a type of imbalance in the give and take between these two opinions. The Gemara answers, Hochi ko'amri le Rabbonon le Rabbi Eliezer. Thusly, the Rabbonon were saying to Rabbi Eliezer, me, and we have this in quotation marks, next four lines is what the Rabbonon were trying to say to Rabbi Eliezer. Mi lo komoidis lon, do you not agree with us? Hecho de tiltel mitocha le Rishus HaRabim, umi Rishus HaRabim le tocha, where one carried from the chotzer, this broken chotzer, to a public thoroughfare, or from a public thoroughfare into the chotzer, that he would in fact be exempt from a Torah-level violation of Neshihi Karmelis, because the interior of the chotzer is in fact classified as a Karmelis. Tzidei nami loy shna. The tzidei as well, the spot that the wall occupied, is no different. So just like you agree with us regarding the interior of the chotzer, why not agree with us regarding the spot that the wall occupied? The Rebbe Eliezer, and his response is, Hosam lo kodasi lo rabim. Regarding the interior of the chotzer, the public does not walk. They don't trample. Darsi literally is to trample. It means to walk. They don't walk in the interior of the chatzir. Therefore, there, on regarding the interior, we concede to you. Hachab, however, regarding the mokum amachitza, called darsi lo rabim. That is something that the public walks over, and therefore we can't agree that that would be a karmelis, but that rather is a real rishus rabim by virtue of. Of course, Rabbi Elazar's opinion that Sidei Rishus HaRabim is considered Rishus HaRabim. We now see or approach a new Mishnah, and before we do so, let's glance at the diagrams, the illustrations that you have in the Pirush Chai, page 207, and there there's a picture that whose caption reads, Chotzer Shenifritzu L'Rishus HaRabim Mishtei Ruchosel. This is a courtyard that's open into a public thoroughfare by virtue of the wall having broken open on two sides. Now, this illustration is already suggesting something that we'll see in the Gemara, the concept known as Keren Zovis. But as far as the Mishnah, when you first read the Mishnah, all it says is that the Chatzir is open from two sides. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Chotzer Shenifritza. Now, the breaking open took place on Shabbos. So that it was when Shabbos entered, it was a regular enclosed courtyard. However, after Shabbos set in, sometime during Shabbos, this Chotzer, the wall broke open. And it broke open Mishtei Ruchosel from two sides. V'chein bayis, likewise a house, and there's an illustration of a house as well. Illustration 73. V'chein bayis shenifritzo mishtei ruchosav. V'chein, and another situation of something that happened on Shabbos, a disturbance that took place on Shabbos, is a movui shenotlu koyrosav o lechoyav. A movui, an alleyway, which generally speaking one can carry in the alleyway that opens into a public thoroughfare, provided that there was a crossbar, a kora, or a lechi, an upright pole at the entrance to that alleyway before Shabbos set in. And in this case, the alleyway lost its kora or its lechi during Shabbos. Mutorin ba'oisoi Shabbos v'asum la'osid lovo, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. They are allowed to continue using and carrying within those areas on that particular Shabbos, since at the beginning of Shabbos it was allowed. And it's Osir La'osid Lavo, the expression La'osid Lavo is an interesting expression. It has this futuristic implication in terms of a type of future spiritual existence, but on the superficial level, the halachic level that we are dealing with, it simply means next week, in future Shabbosis. This same chutzah will not be allowed. Regarding this Shabbos, since part of it, the first part of Shabbos, it was mutter because everything was in place, so when the disturbance set in the middle of Shabbos, we allow you to continue using it as if nothing happened. But that does not reflect upon any permission regarding future Shabbosis. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi responds, and he argues as far as what his intention is. The Gemara will ask, what is his intention? But we know that he is arguing, and he says as follows. In Mutorin La'osid Shabbos, if you're claiming that that it's mutter to carry in that this Shabbos, Mutorin La'osid Lavo, it should be mutter next week and future weeks as well. In Asurim La'osid Lavo, and if you're going to say that it's Osir next week, then Asurim La'osid Shabbos, then it should be Osir on this Shabbos as well. Rabbi Yossi is a type of all-or-nothing approach. Exactly what his intention is, that, as we said, the Gemara will clarify. The Gemara. B'mai askinon. What are we dealing with? Actually, before we continue too much further into the Gemara, we want you to note that we have a topic heading on the side, and the topic heading is that which we've already learned, chotzer or bias, shenifritzu mishrei ruchos, we've written on the side, there's just a rabbim, a courtyard or a house that has broken open on two sides into a public thoroughfare on Shabbos, lefi Rabbi Yehuda mutorim la'oyster Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter to carry in these areas on Shabbos. Loma muskar shnei ruchos. What is the significance of teaching two sides, the shtei ruchos mentioned in the Mishnah. And that is what the opening discussion of the Gemara focuses on. After we present the what it is talking about, we'll see diamonds in our markings, and they represent a machlokas Rav Ushmuel beinyan chotzer, a machlokas that they have regarding the chotzer. Now the Gemara. So after asking b'mayaskinon, what are we talking about? E lema be'eser, and we have illustration 74, and here the Pirush Chai presents a number of different possibilities. And the Eser is a reference to 10 Amos. You can see that illustrated in the diagram. This is, of course, an aerial view of courtyards, different possibilities. So the first possibility or suggestion is, if you say that the opening is of 10 Amos, my shno meruach achas, what is different about one side that would not present any problem, the Omar Pishohu, you would say, anything that's not more than 10 amos, a 10 amma opening is considered a pesach, it's considered not a breach per se, but rather a doorway, even if it's a result of a breach taking place, but it's legally classified as a doorway, and hence the wall is legally considered intact, and the enclosure remains an effective enclosure. Well, mishtei ruchos nami pischahu. As you can see in illustration 74 bays, even if it were broken open in that fashion on two sides, but each opening is not more than 10 amos, that's still called a pesach. Elo b'yeser me'eser. Rather, it must be that we're talking about a breach that's greater than 10 amos. Well, ihachi, if we're talking about a breach that's greater than 10 amos, afilu me'ruach achas nami, even if it were on one side of the chatzer, it would classify a breach and not a doorway, not an opening. And it would ruin it from being considered an effective enclosure, and you would not be able to carry in it. So why does the Mishnah emphasize two sides? Once again, if it's open on two sides, and it's within 10, the space is not more than 10 amos, that doesn't present a problem, not for this week nor for next week. That's perfectly, it's considered a perfectly good enclosure. And if it's more than 10 amos, there's no need to speak about two sides. Omar Rav, li'oilom be'eser, Rav's approach is that we're talking about 10 amos. Ukegoin shenifritza bekeren zovis, the pischa bekeren, we're at the top of Omid Beis, the pischa bekeren zovis lo avdi inshi. We're talking about what we saw illustrated in the first illustration in 72, or you can see in 74 Gimel, the illustration, the breach is at the corner. And that's what shtei ruchos means, two directions. You can have like the northern side and the eastern side of the wall have been broken, even though it's not more than 10 amos, but nevertheless people do not make openings in the corner of structures, and therefore it's not considered a Pesach. We have a bracketed section. If we skip the bracketed section, we chance upon Shmuel, who is the second approach, and let's just read that momentarily. Shmuel Omar, afilu b'yeser me'eser. We're talking about a breach that is in fact more than 10 amos. The question was, if it's more than 10 amos, then why do we have to speak about a breach that's on two sides? Ihochi meruach achas nami, even from one side it would be a problem. So why does the Mishnah speak about a chaser shenifritza mishtei ruchoseha? So Shmuel says, you're right. A breach of more than 10 on one side, in fact, does present a problem. So why speak about two sides? So he answers, Mishum bias, because of the case of a house. That in the case of a house, a breach of more than 10 amos will not ruin the house. So the Gemara asks, "Ubayis gufei tikshi, well, regarding the house itself, why not ask, what is different about one side which does not present a problem, even if it's more than 10 amos? The Amrinon, because Pitikor Yoyri Visoy, same, the edge of the roof is said to come down and seal off the breach. Mishnei Ruchos Nami, name all Pitikor Yoyri Visoy, same. Why not say the same thing regarding the two sides of the house that have a breach in the wall of more than 10 amos? Allow this legal phenomenon of P Tikra Yoreid Viso, saying the edge of the roof descends and seals up, to be effective as well. What we've just done in reading the Gemara, skipping the bracketed section and reading on a couple of lines, is typical for our Gemara markings approach to the daf. We're trying to create a user-friendly, smooth reading approach to the Gemara. We will go over this with further structural detail in a moment, but just let us review what we've done just now anyway. We saw the Mishnah that spoke about a Chotzer Shenifritza Mishtei Ruchosel, and we saw Rav's approach to the Mishnah, that it's talking about a breach of 10 amos, not any more than 10, even if it's a breach under 10 amos, but it's a breach in the corner. And that 10 amo breach in the corner ruins the enclosure from being effective. That was Rav's approach. Shmuel's approach is, we're talking about a breach in the side of the chotzer, and it's a breach of more than 10 amos. And if that's the case, why is it that the Mishnah speaks about two sides? Even from one side, that would ruin the enclosure. And the Gemara answers, that's right, even from one side. So why does the Mishnah mention two sides? The answer to that is because that's in anticipation of the Gemara's discussion regarding the house. Now, let's go over the Gemara again, but focusing on the structure. We had read Rav's halacha at the top line, which spoke about a breach bekeren zavis, and a breach of 10 amos in the corner is not considered a pesach, hence it would ruin the chotzer enclosure from being effective, and you can't carry in it because it's a breach into a public thoroughfare. As far as the brackets are concerned, we have a note on the side. Let's read the note. First of all, we have a structural note, the mivneh, where you see on the right margin a bow tie form, and it reads machloikis Rav and Shmuel beinyan bias shel mishnasenu. We've chosen to highlight the case of the house, which was mentioned in the Mishnah. Rav and Shmuel will be arguing about the house breach in the Mishnah. As far as the brackets are concerned, we have a starred comment in the other margin of the Gemara, and we note acharei hasograyim, after the brackets, which we actually read already, mofia shitas Shmuel binyan chotzer, Shmuel's opinion regarding chotzer will appear. In other words, once we read Rav's opinion regarding chotzer, we skip immediately to Shmuel's opinion regarding the chotzer. Aval miyad acharkach Shmuel mityaches lepirtza debayis. After Shmuel makes his comment regarding the chotzer, he will then make his comment regarding house. Lifnei shetitkadem b'shita Shmuel debayis, before going on to look into Shita Shmuel regarding the house, Mumlatz, we recommend lachzor lasograyim, to go back to the bracketed section, velumod shitas Rav binyan bias, and learn first Rav's opinion regarding house, v'achakach lamshich b'shitas Shmuel, and then to pick up Shmuel's opinion regarding house. So we're trying to make order out of this Gemara. We see Rav, and of course Rav mentions his pshat regarding the Keren Zavis regarding the Chotzer, and then he will speak about how to understand the case of the house, and then Shmuel will tell us about his opinion regarding the Chotzer, and tell us about his approach to the house. So now that we presented the Gemara with the focus on the Machlokis, Rav, and Shmuel regarding the Chotzers, we're free to look at their Machlokis regarding the house in the Mishnah. So we continue in the Gemara on the second line, the beginning of the brackets. The Mishnah had mentioned, V'chein bayis shenifratz mishtei ruchosav. Likewise, with regard to a house whose wall is broken on two sides. Why is it that when it comes to a breach in a house, on one side there would be no problem because we have the phenomenon known as pi tikra, the edge of the roof, in a legal and halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai fashion, and based on an oral tradition, this concept makes for an enclosure where the edge of the roof is said to descend downwards, the so same, and seal it off. Say the same thing when the breach in the house is from two sides, that the edge of the roof on both sides of the house comes down and descends and closes it off. And up till this point, we don't know anything about the Karen Zovis with regard to a house. Karen Zovis was mentioned before regarding a courtyard, but what about regarding a house? Amri Debei Rav Menashio, Amri Debei Rav Mishmei De Rav, it's said in the name of Rav, Kagon Shinifrats Bekaren Zovis. Illustration 81. You see there a 81 is found on page 209. V'kiruyov v'alachson, and the roof is at a diagonal slant. The lekol lemeimar p'tikur yod v'sosim, and as a result, we cannot apply the rule of P. Tikra Yore Vesosim. We should take a closer look at the pictures and correct ourselves. We made a mistake in the picture reference, but rather the Nifrats Bekeren Zovis Vikiru of Balachson is found by looking at picture 116 on page 69. The idea of alachson is a sloping roof. So when you have a breach in the corner and the breach is a sloping roof, the leko lemeimar p'tikro yorei v'sosein. When you have a situation like that, so you cannot say p'tikro yorei v'sosein. You will notice maybe even a better illustration is that which we saw already, illustration 73 on page 207. You see the breach in the house and a sloping roof. So that would be what Rav is saying is the problem with the house, and in such a case, you cannot say pi tikra yored v'sosem, and hence the house is forbidden to carry within it, being that it's broken open to a public thoroughfare in that fashion. So, as far as Rav is concerned, the explanation of the chotzer and the explanation of the house both involve the case of Karen Zovis. We take a look at Rashi on the third line from the top, Amri Beirav, Hai Honami, the case of the house as well, but Karen Zovis, Afagav de Be'eser, even though it's 10 Amos, Ukimno, we say, or as Afagav de Be'eser Ukimno, even though we set it up as a case of 10 Amos, Lo Amrinan Pischo, we do not say that it is an entrance way, but rather a breach. The Pischo Bekeren Zovis Lo Avidi, people don't make entrance ways in the corners of their structure. Umishon P. Tikro Nami Lo, and as far as the effectiveness of the descending roof, we can't allow that here either. Kagon Shekiru Balachson B'Shipua, Kagon Gagin Shalonu. The roof is a sloping roof like our roofs. And Rashi in the 11th century was referring to his rooftops, which were sloping roofs, which in fact is many homes today have that as well. Deleko peh. There's no edge. It's, when it slopes down, we don't classify it as a peh. A peh is where you have the edge of the roof at a 90 degree angle to the floor. Dehainu, this sloping roof is kain arzila damrina boisin pasin. This we referred to back in illustration 116, back on page 69, the Urzila. So far, we have now seen Rav's explanation of the chotzer and the house that's nifratz mishtei ruchos, and shtei ruchos means in the corner. Shtei ruchos, two sides, meaning like east and north, or south and west, two directions that come to a corner. We continue in the Gemara. Ushmuel Omar afilu b'yeser me'eser. Shmuel is referring here to the chotzer, and the diamonds highlight the fact, or the point at which Rav and Shmuel argue regarding the chotzer. And Shmuel says, even if you're talking about something that is more than 10 amos, the breach in the Mishnah is more than 10 amos. Ihochi, if that be the case, meruach achas nami, even if it's on one side, why does the Mishnah mention chotzer shenifetzo mishteruchsa, the courtyard that's broken open on two sides? Even if it's broken open on one side, but more than 10 amos, that will ruin the chotzer. So the Gemara answers, mishum bias. The need for speaking about two sides is only because the Mishnah also discusses a house. And with regard to the house, where it's broken open on one side, that would not ruin the house as being considered enclosed. Why? Because on one side, the concept of pi tikro, yorid visosem, will set in. And again, we're assuming right now we're talking about a flat-roofed home where pi tikro would be effective. Anything we mentioned before regarding the house, particularly that which was in the bracketed section above, that was within Rav. So let's not confuse Terutzim and Hesberim that we gave in the past for Rav with regard to Shmuel. So we're kind of like starting anew. We're talking about a standard type breach in a house, and on one side it wouldn't ruin the house, and that is, as we're explaining, because Pi Tikro Yored Vesosin, the edge of the roof comes down and seals it up. The Gemara now asks, Ubayas Gufei Tikshi, regarding the house itself, why not ask, My Shnome Ruach Achas Diamrinon Pi Tikro Yvayorid Vesosim, what is different about one side that we say it does not ruin it, because we have a concept of Pi Tikro Yorid Vesosim, the edge of the roof seals it up, Mishne Ruchos Nami Nemo Pi Tikro Yorid Vesosim, even if the breach is on two sides, say the same thing, that Pi Tikra Yored Vesosim. As you can see, we encounter now a new bracketed section. The note on the side says, Acharei Sogrim Nisharas HaKusha. After this bracketed section, the question we're raising now remains, and the Gemara there will have to answer it. So if we skip the brackets for a moment, you see it says, Mikol Mokom Kasha. The issue we're raising right now, namely, a house broken on two sides, more than 10 amos each breach. Why not allow the house to be carried within because of Pi Tikra Yod Vesesim on both sides? The Gemara will answer that afterwards. In other words, right after that question mark, the Gemara will follow with an answer. In the meantime, let's go back over the bracketed section. You can see that we have a number 2 at the beginning of this bracketed section. This is, in effect, a second question that we are asking within Shitas Shmuel. The number 1 we had 2 lines above, and that was, we read that already, of my shnomi ruach achas, why is there a distinction between one side versus two sides? And now we read the brackets, Vesu, another question. Me islay lishmuel pi tikra yored vesosim. Does Shmuel even hold from the effectiveness of pi tikra yored vesosim? Or itmar, it has been taught achsadra bebika, the case of the achsadra, which you can see back on page 68. Most of you are probably familiar with this anyway, because we've seen so many references to an achsadra, but it's four poles that are set up in a field, in an open area, with a roof to it. And you can see that on page 68, illustration 110. An achsadra bebiko. Biko is an open area. Rav Omar, mutar l'talta bekula. Rav says you can carry underneath the entire area that's roofed. Shmuel Omar ain metalton bo'ela bedalet amos. Shmuel says no, you can't carry in under that roof. Why? Well, according to Rav, p tikra yorif is so same. The area is considered enclosed by virtue of the edge of the roof coming down and enclosing it. So it's an enclosed area. It becomes a rishus hayochid. You can carry there. According to Shmuel, it would seem that ain, there's no p tikra yorif is so same. The Gemara says, ha lo kashya, that which we've called question number two is really no question. Ki lesle, when is it that Shmuel does not hold from P tikra yored v'sosein bedalid, when you're using it, when you're activating it on all four sides? Ava b'shalosh isle, but if it were a function of having P tikra form an enclosure on three sides, Shmuel would acknowledge its effectiveness. So, that having been said, Shmuel does hold from P, Tikra, Yored, Vesosim. Only in the case of the Asadra Bebika does he deny its effectiveness, but not in our case. Mikol Mokom Kashya. So the question comes back. Why, in the case of the house, is it ruined only when it's broken on two sides and not when it's broken open on one side? If on one side you say P tikra yored vesosim, even if it's broken open on two sides of the house, let us say P tikra yored vesosim. The house marking or the house shape that you saw around Achsadra Bebika, that is employed over here because later on the Omid there will be again a machlokis Rav and Shmuel regarding the Achsadra Bebika, so as to show the repetition of that idea, we use this particular marking. But let's focus right now on our question. What about the two sides of the house that is rendered, when broken open, rendered open, and hence you cannot carry in the house? The Gemara answers, Ki de Amri be Rav Mishmei de Rav, as they had said, and you can see this actually was a, this is what we learned earlier in the name of Rav. And even though the Mishnah speaks about two sides, nevertheless, it is a reference to a Keren Zovis, the corner. So using that idea that we saw earlier, Kegoin Shinifrats Bekeren Zovis Vekiruyov Balaso, even though the Mishnah spoke about two sides, the school of Rav said in the name of Rav, it meant a corner. Hochanami, so too, regarding the house, Kegon Shnifratz Bekeren Zovis. Shmuel's approach is going to be that it was broken in a corner. The Kiruyov Ba'arba, and this is illustrated in the Rashi. You can see an aerial view of a house whose corner is broken open, and it's broken open in this what we call a zigzag fashion, if you will. But it's a breach in the corner, and there's also a Pirush Chai illustration 81. So you can see that in the big picture, it's broken in the corner of the house. However, it's not a smooth break, but rather it's as illustrated. Now, in a case like that, you in effect would be, in order for it to be mutter, you'd have to have the edge of the roof descending. But again, you've got a problem here of P tikra. On four P tikras yored v'sosein, and that we do not, that Shmuel will deny, as we saw earlier. Rashi himself has a rather elaborate explanation to this, and you can see the amount of detail in the Rashi. Let us take a look at the Rashi, at Viki Ruyov. Nami afal gav de lo airi bay masnisen miboya le luukmi she'eno kishar tikros ela mishupa. Just as Rav had to speak about a, we'll call the unusual case, in other words, a roof that's not like the other roofs, but rather it's an angular roof. L'didi nami, I too, says Shmuel, hi shtei ruchos chado keren zovizhu. The shtei ruchos is really one corner. Okegon shnifrat zeh akoysel min akiruyo al pnei kol apirtso somuch lo b'mizrach ubetzafon. And here Rashi goes into the dimensions here. Chomesh amos lekan barochav dalin, v'chomesh amos v'oid lekan barochav arba. That's four amos on one edge, five amos on the other, and then five amos plus, and by four. Nimtzu kan arba pios, shetzorch lustom pi tikra. You've created four edges that you would, in theory, need pi tikra to close up. And again, Rashi is very elaborate here. B'chomesh amos lemizrach, b'chomesh vod letzofon, arei shtei stimos. Those are the two sides that the Mishnah mentioned, Mizrach and Safon. The achshav nimtzu stimos halalu v'mshachos lifnim b'chal al-bayas meruchokos mimokom ha-machitza. Dalad lekan, v'dalad lekan, and these breaches themselves are not immediately along the road, the edge of the house, but they're set in four amos on this side and four amos on the other side. V'tzorch liston pitikra arba, v'sfas mikzoa, pirtzis akira mizroch, v'dromo, v'sfas ha-mizrochi, l'koysel, v'chein arba, v'sfas mikzoa, pirtzis atzvones. And in effect, we would need to have Pitikra descend, as we just illustrated, on all of these edges. As we said, the basic problem in sealing this house up would be that you would need to have four Pitikra Yorei Visosing. And as Rashi says at the end of this Dibur Maschil, Uba'arba less lay lishmol pi tikra yored v'sosim. When it comes to four sides, Shmuel does not hold from pi tikra yored v'sosim. We turn back to the Gemara. At this point, the Gemara goes between Rav and Shmuel. Why does each one not say like the other? Shmuel lo omar karav. Shmuel does not accept Rav's pshat of the corner of the house with the sloping roof, and the sloping roof is, according to Rav, that which prevented Pitikra from operating. Because why does Shmuel not accept Rav? Alachson lo kotoni. That which Rav mentioned, the alachson, well, that word alachson doesn't appear in the Mishnah. And with our markings, we're trying to show you where Rav originally had said alachson, and that's why we have a little star to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. Likewise, the Rav lo omar kishmuel, Rav did not say like Shmuel. Im Cain, if it were like Shmuel said, that you would need to have four P tikras, Havyo le achsadra. It would have been then the same din as the achsadra. And we should point out, by the way, that this is a long point. So bear that in mind as we continue reading in the Gemara. Rav doesn't want to accept Shmuel because then you would have a situation of four p-tikras. The Rav litame. And Rav is consistent in not seeing that as a problem. Diomar achsadra muter letaltel bekula. And here the Gemara repeats the machlokas we saw before in the brackets and the house marking around the achsadra. Diomar achsadra bebika. the covering in the open pika. Rav Omar Mutar Latata Bekula. Ushmul Omar Ein Matata Bo Elo Be'arba Amos. Now you notice why we have this dashed underline under Mutar Latata Bekula, because this is the very point why Rav does not accept Shmuel's pshat. Because once you have a P Tikra, you can have it descending on all four sides. The Gemara goes on. Rav Omar Mutar Latata Bekula Amrino P Tikra Yerid V'Sosein. You can carry under the entire Achsavta because the edge of the roof comes down on all sides. Ushmuel Omar Ein Matata Bekula Arba Amos. You're restricted to only four Amos in which you can carry things in under that Achsavta. Lo Amrinon P Tikra Yerid V'Sosein. We do not say that the P Tikra comes and seals on all four sides. As we go on in the Gemara, we will see two versions as to what the circumstances of the of the machlokes take place. So, version Aleph is be'eser, a breach of 10. Kuli alma lo pligi. Everyone agrees that there is no problem. Ki pligi beyeser meeser. The machlokes applies when the breach is more than 10. The ika di amri, another version is beyeser kuli alma lo pligi. When the breach is more than 10, everyone agrees it will not be effective. Rashi, by the way, beeser kuli alma lo pligi, four lines from the bottom, Rashi says, de balav stimas pitikra nami psochim heim, that even without the descending edge of roof operating, the fact that the breach is 10 amos and not more, it's okay, it's considered enclosed. The second version is that be yeser more than 10 amos kule amo lo pligi, everyone will agree that is considered a breach. Ki pligi be eser, the machlokis comes up when you are at 10 amos. Let's go over the last point, the two lishonos that we just saw. The Gemara had mentioned that there is a machlokis Rav and Shmuel regarding the achsadra bebikah. We have the four poles at the four corners supporting a roof, and the roof in the open field. What was the gap between those four poles? In other words, the openings formed by the poles. So, according to the first version, be'eser kuli amo lo pligi, that if the gap is no more than 10 amos, even without the benefit of pi tikra, those are considered entrances, and hence it would be considered an enclosed area. You don't have a breach of more than 10 amos. And therefore, under those circumstances, there would be no machlokis Rav and Shmuel. Even Shmuel will agree I'm not activating P Tikra. Granted, P Tikra on four sides is ineffective, but you don't need to come on to P Tikra if the opening is 10 amos. And ki pligi, but yes, sir, master, this, the Gemara said three lines from the bottom, in the first version, the whole machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, is if the gap between the poles is more than 10 amos. Rav will say, even though it's more than 10 amos, P Tikra Yerid V'Sosein on four sides, and Shmuel will argue and say no. The Ika D'Amri, the second version, says, "Beyeser kuli amo lo pligi." If the gap is more than 10 amos, everyone will agree, even Rav will agree, that it's not effective. We can't allow P Tikra Yerid V'Sosein on four sides to enclose a gap of more than 10 amos. Ki pligi be'eser. The machlokes will be if the gap is 10 amos. Shmuel, again, would be restrictive. The Gemara continues. V'ha di'amar Rav Yehuda. We continue at the top of Tzadi Hei Omid Aleph. That which Rav Yehuda says, Koira Dalid Matir Bechurba. A Koira is a crossbeam, and a Churba is a ruin. If you notice illustration 85 on page 210, you can see there is a ruin, and there's a korah, the korah being four tfachim wide, and it's suspended, as you can see, on two pins or pegs. It's suspended over the entranceway to this chorba that is otherwise breached, broken open into a Rishus HaRabim. As a result of the, if you didn't have a korah there, so the entire area of the chorba is forbidden to carry in. Now it has this korah over the opening, and the issue is, can I carry underneath the area of the korah? In order to be able to carry underneath that area, you would have to have, in effect, four edges coming down and enclosing that area. So if you have a korah, it says, Rav Yehuda says, a korah dalid matir b'chorba, the korah that's four tfachim wide, suspended as we just explained, it's matir, it allows the area to be carried in. For Rav Nachman Omar Rabo Bar Avua, korah dalid matir b'mayim, the korah suspended over water. And there's an illustration. It's illustration 69, that's in the 8th perek. And you can see that on page 180. You can see a korah arba materes b'mayim, page 180 in the Pirush Chai. Of course, this is something we've learned in the past. We continue in the Gemara. These halachas of Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, the Gemara asks money, that these korahs are effective when you're in fact using four edge descents to operate. According to whom is this? So, lahach lishna di amris be'eser lo pligi, according to the approach that says that 10 amos, there is no machlokes. So we will set this up as a korah that's 10 amos long. Be'eser v'divrei hakol, it's 10 amos, and everyone will agree that's effective. In other words, these halachas of Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman are in accordance with everybody, namely in accordance with Rav and Shmuel. Lahach lishno di amris be'eser pligi, according to the Lashon that says that even if it's 10 amos, there is a machlokis, and only Rav will allow it. So then we will have to say, kirav, that the halachas of Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman are in accordance with Rav alone. Because once again, the korah cases we just cited in halachas 1 and 2, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, are dependent upon a four-side p-tikra yored v'sosing. The Gemara asks, and this question lasts quite a few lines, Lemo Abaye v'Rova b'Plukto d'Rav u'Shmuel komiflegi. Shall we say that the machlokis we haven't seen yet, but a machlokis between Abaye and Rova is a machlokis that parallels Rav and Shmuel? Well, what is the machlokis concerning Abaye that concerned Abaye and Rova? The Itmar. Sikech al gabi achsadra sheyesh. Let's read this again. Sikech is to put schach in the case of a sukkah. Al gabi achsadra, over an achsadra. And we saw an achsadra is a roof that's suspended on poles. Sheyesh lo ptsimin. If the achsadra has ptsimin, Rashi says at the top, sheyesh lo ptsimin amudim. Those are poles. Kvuin v'mechitzisel pochos migimel. You have successive poles along the sides of the achsadra within three tfachim of one another. So, and then you cover that with schach. That will be kosher. Ein lo ptsimin, if it does not have these ptsimin. So then you're basically dealing with the type of achsadra we saw before, of a roof suspended over four poles. Abaye Omar Kshera, that schach will make it into a kosher sukkah. The Rava Omar Psula, And Rava says, it's not acceptable. Abaye Omar Ksheira. Abaye says, this is kosher. And you'll ask, well, where are the walls? If it's a achsadra that is simply a roof cover suspended on four poles, where are the walls? A sukkah needs walls. So Abaye will tell you, Pi Tikra Yorid Vesosein. The edge comes down and seals it up. The Rava Omar Psula Lo Omar Pi Tikra Yorid Vesosein. We don't apply Pitikra Yorid Vesosein to form the walls of the sukkah. So, Lemo Abaye Kerav Verovo Kishmul. Shall we say that Abaye, which is Machshir, is in accordance with Rav, who we saw before the Achsadru Babika was considered enclosed. So Abaye is saying this is a kosher sukkah, and that's based on Rav. The Rava, Kishmon, and Rava, who says it's an unkosher sukkah, is based on Shmuel, that this does not acknowledge Pi Tikra Yorid Vesosein on four sides. The Gemara continues and says, Aliba de Shmuel Kuli Amalo Pligi. That means Abaye certainly will work out only like Rav and like, not like Shmuel. Abaye acknowledges that according to Shmuel, this will not be a kosher sukkah. The question here is, what about Rava? Is Rava going to be only like Shmuel, not like Rav? So the Gemara says, as far as Shmuel is concerned, everyone agrees that Abaye, who was saying that it's a kosher sukkah, is not saying that it's a kosher sukkah within Shitas Shmuel. Ki pligi haliba derav. The whole machlokas Abaye and Rava is within Rav. Before we go further, let's just take a look at Rashi to clarify this on the top line. Aliba de Shmuel kuliyama lo pligi klomar. This is as if to say, Vadai kideko amris Abaye karav lo kishmuel. We're acknowledging that Abaye works out only like Rav and not like Shmuel. De moida Abaye will concede the psula, that according to Shmuel, the sukkah won't be effective. The kevon de bach sadra. Mind you, in the case of an achsadru, the hanach pios tikro lachsadru nasu, the edge of the descending roof is made to enclose the achsadru of afilu hochi osar betiltul Shabbos, and even though it's made for the achsadru, it still is restricted from carrying under it on Shabbos. Kol shekein de lo mahani l'inyan sukkah. Certainly, the descending wall is not going to help to make it into a kosher sukkah. De lo l'suk avidi. This original structure was not set up to be a sukkah. It was made to be an achsadra. I want to use it as a sukkah. So it's certainly not going to be an effective enclosure, according to Shmuel. So that Abaye, who was saying that the sukkah is kosher, was not attempting to say that within Shitas Shmuel. What we are saying now in the Gemara is that the machlokes, Abaye and Rava, is within Shitas Rav. Rashi continues, Ki pligi aliba de Rav, klomar. Ha di omar Rava, kishmuel, velo karav, lohi. That which we tried to say before in setting up the question that Rava parallels Shmuel and not Rav, that's not so. The Rava nami karav omro lemilse. Rava, in saying that it's an unkosher sukkah, is saying so within Shitas Rav. The Omar loch and Rava will tell you, Adkan lo koshori Rav linyan Shabbos. Until now, Rav is matir only with regard to Shabbos, the achsadra being an effective enclosure for carrying, but not as a sukkah. So now let's see this in the Gemara. Ki pligi aliva de Rav. The machlokes Abaye and Rava is within Shitas Rav. Abaye karav. Well, Abaye, who says it's a kosher sukkah, is certainly parallel to Rav, who says that the achsadra is said to be enclosed. The Rava, ad kan lokoma Rav hosam elo dahani mechitzas lachsadra vidi. Rava tells us that I acknowledge that Rav says the achsadra is considered a kosher enclosure, That's because the descending walls were made for the achsadra. Again, in your mind's eye, you had an achsadra there, and the descending walls are to enclose the achsadra. Avol hocha, but here, where you put schach over the top of an achsadra, this structure was originally an achsadra. If there is any descending wall to be said, that's good for hilchus Shabbos, for allowing carrying as far as Shabbos is concerned. But here, where you're talking about the descending wall to be kosher for a sukkah as well, avol hocha dahani mechitzos lav l'sukkah avidi, the descending walls here weren't made for the sukkah. Lo, even Rav will agree with me, says Rava, that it won't be considered a kosher sukkah. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.